We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Obviously, his speed helps him in doing that.
And they score! Eric Holland threw it from behind the net. It deflects in, and the fourth line does it again for Minnesota. Holland's in. Fontaine breaks for the net. He scores! Granlund ahead for Pominville. He's in alone. Pominville fires. He scores! Gloves, flips, the Wild head for the bench. They head for the locker room victorious on the road again. A 3-1 win over the Avs in Denver.
I wasn't sure. Did he say someone score?
I think he did. I think he did.
Just wanted to be clear on that. Big news out of the Wild today. Jordan Leopold, Hobie Baker winner for the Gophers. He's well over 10 years ago, 2002 or so. He's back. He was traded by the Columbus Blue Jackets to the Minnesota Wild. And Justin Falk in a fifth-round pick is what it took. Jordan, I remember, I've known him since he was like 15. And because he's married to, but he was dating the daughter of a friend of ours, my wife and mine. And I remember the first time, I'm just BSing with him. So what are you thinking of doing about school and stuff? I didn't know that at the time he was going to go to that Michigan thing, you know, that U.S. It was the first time they had that team, that developmental team.
Mm-hmm.
He was very coy about it. And I said, look, I'm not writing a story. All I'm doing is, you know, making conversation. But he is a great, he was a great kid, and he's a great guy, and a great parent. And it's a great move on the Wild's part. And the best part of this story, did you hear about his daughter? His daughter's 10. Next month, she turns 11. About 6 weeks ago, and this goes back to when the Wild were not doing well, on her own, she sends a letter. I'll read some of it to you. Dear Minnesota Wild coaches, this is Jordan, Jordyn. My name is Jordan Leopold. My dad is Jordan Leopold, one of the Columbus Blue Jackets defensemen. Well, my dad is very lonely without his family. We are living in Minnesota right now, and I am lost without my dad, and so is my mom, my two sisters, and my brother. My dad is on a team with very lonely and is not playing because the Jackets got him because they needed a D-man. It has been since November, and we cannot take it anymore. Well, to get to the point, the Wild have not been winning games. And again, this goes back to when they were before Devan Dubnyk. Wild have not been winning games, and you lovely coaches are most likely mad about that. But your team needs some more D-men, so can you please, please, please ask the Jackets if you guys can get them. Thanks, love, Jordan Leopold, Jordyn with a little smiley face. It's adorable. The kid's 10. She negotiated this deal for her dad.
Does she get a commission or anything for this?
If nothing else, he should take her out for ice cream. I just think that's wonderful, though. That little Jordan, 11 in April, decided she was going to go pen to paper and send a note. Did it in block letters. No cursive for young Jordan. It's a neat thing for a kid to do. And now her dad is coming home. I talked to... I told you I knew his wife's parents, the in-laws. I talked to them, and everybody in the family is just thrilled that he's coming home, as much as little Jordan is, too. We're going to see if we can get big Jordan on the line with us. I've been trying to get in touch with him. I'm sure he's either talking to his family, to the Wild. He's trying to make arrangements to get here.
Yeah.
So, or to get wherever they want him to go.
Wild fans should be happy about this trade. It's nothing splashy, but it's a good veteran D-man to help for depth, and he's got 71 games played in playoff experience. So it's a good guy to have.
You know, he's a good locker room guy too, because he's a good guy. So he was phenomenal when he was the Hobie Baker winner. He led them to their first back to back. They had other players on that team too, but he was a standout on the first of the back to back national championship teams that they had. And I remember when. They actually back both years, but the first year, the team that he was on, the players, like four of them, just showed up at KQ the next morning. They hadn't yet slept. So I think they won it on a Sunday, and they were out, I don't want to say partying, because, college kids wouldn't do anything like that.
Never.
They were just out reliving the moment, the revelry of having won the national title. So it's kind of neat. None of these guys had slept, and it was a fun bunch, as you might imagine. But there's that with the Wild. That's a big deal, certainly, with Jordan Leopold coming back. And the other thing they learned over the weekend, Devin Dubnyk is the NHL's first star for the month of February. That's pretty damn good. And they're sitting again in the second wild card spot with 73 points. And I think Calgary and the Kings are both at 70. And however you look at it, one of them is in the third spot, and the other one is out of the wild card race right now. But all they have to do is keep winning. This is a tough week for them too, because they got back to back games Thursday and Friday. They got Ottawa tomorrow night here, and they wind up having they beat Colorado 3-1 on Saturday. And they have them again next Sunday here. So it's a busy schedule that they have coming up here.
Yeah, what did you think about the end of that Colorado game when it got really chippy and guys started fighting?
I like a little chippiness.
Well, even the guy that took a swipe at Koivu from the bench?
I like a little chippiness.
That's what Patrick Waugh's bringing to the table, apparently.
You know what, though? This is it's hockey. It's not a sissy game. You got to have a little contact. That's why people watch it sometimes. What was the line? Who was it that used it? Was it Rickles or was it Dangerfield about going to a went to a fight and a hockey game broke out?
That sounds like a Rickles.
Yeah, which is pretty entertaining. Now, how about? Oh, by the way, the NHL trade deadline is today. That's why you're seeing some movement. Other teams made some moves too. But the big one here again: Jordan Leopold back in Minnesota. The Wild trade Justin Falk and a fifth-round pick to the Columbus Blue Jackets for Jordan Leopold, 34 years old, but he will appear in 25 games for the Blue Jackets. He gives them, he gives them a veteran presence on defense, and there's nothing wrong with doing something like that.
Yeah, with Spurgeon out until, they say, Thursday, maybe the earliest he's coming back. Scandella took a stick to the head, so we need some depth at defense right now.
And he put it this way, he's certainly fresh with only 25 games played.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing, Jordan has had some injuries in his career and things that have derailed him, because if he hadn't been hurt in the times he hasn't dealt with physical issues, I think he would have been one hell of an NHL player. Now, how about KG?
What a good
donates
guy, huh?
I'm assuming that he bought the tickets. That's what they were saying. He's donating them. Or did the Wolves donate them in his name? Whatever the point or the situation. At 9 a.m. this morning, 500 pairs of tickets, 1,000 in all, were offered to Timberwolves fans for tonight's game against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Within 3 minutes, all 1,000 were gone. All 500 pairs, all 1,000 were gone. I don't know how you could. I mean, you have to be whipping through. You got to be a speed typer, right? You have to do it right
clicking,
at 9 o'clock.
Hitting refresh.
Well, just keep hitting refresh. But then when it comes up, if you have everybody going at once, you have got to be fast in filling it out with your name. And, you know, they must want your name, your address, your number.
Mm-hmm.
Something more than just, mine.
Had I attempted that contest, I would have lost. Well, I read an article that told me the times, it said they were in Eastern time, so I was by my computer at 8 o'clock and then saw that it doesn't start until 9, so I don't know why they put article.
No. It was never anything, but why would they put it in Eastern?
I don't know. It just said the times were Eastern.
So you did try to get them.
I was up at 7:58 and I was checking the website and it says it opens at 9, and I was like, well,
why didn't you try it again at 9 o'clock, the real time?
So I got hungry and forgot.
Well, I'm sure they're the best tickets in the probably all courtside. Don't you think? Yeah,
they're upper level, but they were given out so quickly.
Yeah.
They opened up a bunch of lower level seats for $25 or something along those lines.
This comes back to what we talked about. You know, the first game back, it was going to be packed, and there's going to be a demand.
Mm-hmm.
This tells you that the demand isn't there. If he was able to buy 1,000, and they're opening up these tickets in the second level. But again, it's a good gesture in his part, and people can go. And he got ejected yesterday with a couple of tees. He only played 15 minutes, but he wasn't going to play much more than that, though.
No,
they don't want him to go back to back. That's why I just don't understand wanting to get him back for a couple of more seasons if he's that important to helping these kids learn than making him assistant coach, but he doesn't want to be an assistant coach. Because, first of all, he wouldn't make anywhere near the money. But it's, well, you know what? If it's helping these young kids, fine. Now, how about...
We got another trade happening, apparently, according to... Chad Graff, the Wild acquired Chris Stewart for a 2017 second-round pick.
They just won't stop. So Chris Stewart and Jordan Leopold.
They're busy.
Well, maybe they're not done yet. Chris Stewart coming out of, they've made deals with Buffalo before or taken guys from Buffalo. So he's got 11 goals. 14 assists. Oh my God! Did you see his plus minus?
No,
minus 30.
Well,
that has a lot to do with the team.
He's a very physical player too, though. That's something definitely going to be getting from Chris Stewart.
Well, and that's the reason you want a guy like that. Let's give you his dimensions: 6'4". No, that's a different wrong. Chris Stewart.
6'2".
6'2", excuse me. What's the rest of them? Because the Chris Stewart I called up was, I hit Chris Stewart and the baseball player came up.
All right.
What is he, 6'2", what?
The thing that
are
I
you
see,
guessing?
It just says 6'2", or 1.88 meters for all the
Oh, he's 1.88 meters?
Yeah.
Wow. You got to love a guy who's 1.88 meters.
Yeah, the closer to 1.9 you get, the better of a hockey player you are.
Well, if you can get to 2.0, my God, there's no telling how good you can be. He'll be with us later, by the way. Tom Schreier will be joining us. They have him at 6'2", 228, so 6'2", or 103 kilograms.
It's a big boy.
It's good to be, you got a little size to you. That's good. Now they can rough things up a little bit, or get things roughed up a little bit. Well, there's that, and we'll keep an eye on any other trades that the Wild may have made, with this today being the trade deadline. The other thing going on is the Twins had like five guys that went home sick.
Mm-hmm.
So they're dealing with illnesses there. They also, you see what Molly did? Paul Molitor? Phone ban.
Oh, nice.
Good for him. Put a little phone ban on. He doesn't want him using the, I think, half an hour or so before the games. Keep him a little focused in on that. The NFL salary cap has risen. It jumped $10 million. That's huge news for a lot of these teams.
So the Vikings just go from $17 million in cap?
18, I thought it was. So 18? Like 28.
Well, that's nice then.
It jumps to $143.28 million. And in 05, 10 years ago, it was 85.5. So they've really added to it. And one other bit of news for you. Congratulate. We talk every Wednesday. Right?
Mm-hmm.
To the John Tower, the coach of St. Thomas. They won over the weekend the MIAC tournament championship to go along with their regular season title. So they'll be cruising into the NCAA Division III playoffs. So congratulations to the Tommies. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk a little more hockey with Dave Schwartz from Care 11 and the show. He does a show here now on 105 The Ticket. On Sundays, 10 to 11. We'll talk to Dave about that, too. We got a lot to talk to him about. We're going to see if we can get you Jordan Leopold. Join us, too. Talk to you soon.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
It's exciting. Obviously, we've talked lots about the way the guys have played for me, and to get the personal recognition is obviously it feels good, and nice to have a couple days between games where I can kind of sit back and enjoy it, and we'll enjoy it for today and forget about it tomorrow and be right back at it.
Devin Dubnyk, your first star of the month by the NHL, pretty good deal, getting that kind of recognition. First time they've had one of those. Now, how about we are honored. Honored and thrilled to have Dave Schwartz from the Benchwarmers and Care 11. The Benchwarmers, of course, on 10 to 11 on the ticket. How was week two? You kicked it. You knocked it out of the park again.
Well, I like to think so. We'll see when the ratings come back.
Don't get cocky.
You said it. I'm doing the good thing as a guest and agree.
Good call. Now, what do you? I think this is a good move because I'm biased because I've known Jordan Leopold since he was about 15. Sure. So I really like him and I like his family, and it's I think it's a good move to get a veteran defenseman here.
Well, they can certainly use help in the decor. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Even if he's a guy that doesn't play every night, he's a guy that takes a couple minutes from someone else to give him a break. He's a guy that can fill in. You know, we still don't know when Jared Spurgeon's going to come back, the extent of which Marco Scandella is going to be out or come back for. He was hurt in, I believe it was the game against Colorado. So, I mean, they need bodies, and he's a guy that knows how to play. He's a guy that's going to be happy here. And, you know, you can't minimize that either. The fact that this would be the first time, at least that we're led to believe, that in a long time, he's going to be happy in his surrounding. And he's been dealt, I think, at least four times in the last couple of years, some of which were at the deadline. So he's going to be happy to come back home to Minnesota. He's going to be happy to have his family here. That means a lot when it comes to these guys and what kind of effort they're going to give and what they're going to play. And so you hope that he will be the guy that they need, and he won't fizzle out because they've had some other bad deals in the past couple of years. But nice to have him come back home. And I don't know if you saw this.
I did. We read it.
The letter. If it's true,
it's true.
Absolutely adorable.
No, it is true. It absolutely is because his mom had shared it.
Her mom
had shared it.
Yeah.
When you say Jordan and Jordan, there's Jordan, D-A-N, the player, and Jordan, D-Y-N, the daughter, who's 10 and turns 11 in April. I talked to her grandparents before we came on the air, because I've known them for 20 years, and they said, yeah, it's her letter. And she sent it about 6 weeks ago when things were not going well for the Wild. It's a great letter.
It was very well written. Her sentences were great. It was very, very well thought out. I mean, you hope maybe that Chuck Fletcher and Craig Leopold saw it. I mean,
I doubt it had any impact. But the only thing I'm disappointed in is that they're not teaching cursive in school anymore. She went with the block. She has really good block lettering, I will say that.
I'm amazed that they're even writing on paper anymore and not just doing it on an iPad.
Well, this kid she is going to be this thing will go viral, and she will be an internet sensation, young Jordan Leopold.
She will. Will she get a cut of the contract is my question.
Well, she should be his agent.
Brokered the deal here.
If this played a part. And I have to find out because we had I know that at one point because we've had her over to to see our horses, and I'm not sure some of the grandchildren came over the summer, and I'm not sure if she was one of them. I think she might have been, but it's a neat thing that she did.
That's great. So, it's always nice when it works out like that.
Now here's the thing that you wonder about is, did KG really buy the tickets, or did the Wolves put them out there in his name?
We have been told that he did actually purchase the ticket.
Well, good for him then.
He makes $12 million a year. You know, I mean, it's not like he can't afford it. So, still, it's a nice thing to do.
He didn't have to do it.
No, he didn't. Nice way to welcome back the fans, and hopefully he can play an entire game this time so that they can have something to see.
Well, but what's an entire game? An entire game for him is 19 to 20 minutes. He had 15.
At least they can watch him sit on the bench instead of being completely tossed out of the game.
Well, you know what? He has to lay low on the tees.
I guess. I guess the rule book says what it says. That was a bit of a head scratcher for me.
Well, you know what, though? He's always been feisty and always will be. So it won't happen frequently, but it's going to happen. Now, what are you? You're not in Florida, are you?
Yeah, I wish I was. No,
I don't.
I'm staring at ice. That's true. They're getting the flu going around down there.
Yeah, five of them were sent home today. I think was a number.
I'd take the flu in 80 degrees by the beach rather than being healthy in 30 degrees and expecting 4 inches to snow.
When is the snow hitting, by the way? You're right near the weather newsroom or the weather room.
I think they said tomorrow night.
It's not hitting tomorrow then.
No, I thought it was last. I heard last night it was going to be tomorrow evening, but I've heard some different things.
651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. The 105, the ticket, does not have a listener weather person. So if you want to be it, give us a call with the latest. Dave clearly doesn't have a clue. Now, Dave, what do you think about this trade for Chris Stewart?
Chris Stewart.
From Buffalo.
You're going to have to educate me because I don't know that. That one's new to me. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Okay, he's from Buffalo. Is he 6'2", 228, 230? Got okay. Well, he's with Buffalo, so we have to look. We have to. Do we discount the minus 30 he has?
Oh boy, minus 30.
Yeah.
Well, everyone in Buffalo is in the minus.
Well, 30. He's, you know, 11 goals, 14 assists. He got 25 points in 61 games, and he's at minus 30. I mean, throughout his career, it hasn't been that bad.
I was gonna say, what's his? What is he? 6'3" what?
6'2", 228. 188 kilometers, centimeters, and 103 kilograms.
So he's going to be, he's going to, I mean,
bring some muscle.
Thought is that he'll be a third line guy, give you a third or fourth line guy, give you some extra, some muscle. Because, I mean, as long as Matt Cook continues to be out, they don't have a guy who's going to get out there and throw it around. I mean, Charlie Coyle's next biggest physical presence on the team, but you can't really afford to let him go sit for 5 minutes. So, it's not a bad. I mean, they're going to need it if they're going to try to make a playoff run. You got to have that guy who's going to get out there and agitate people and mix it up with guys so that you don't have your best guys doing it.
Well,
and I know Charlie Coyle said after Saturday night, he said, "Well, I could have expected it and known it." That's not really what Charlie Coyle is supposed to be doing. Charlie Coyle is supposed to be playing hockey, scoring goals and assists. You don't really want him out there throwing the gloves down unless it's just an unfortunate little incident like it was Saturday night.
Well, last year he had 118 penalty minutes in 63 games, so he's had he's had some minutes in his career.
Yeah.
And 63 this year in 61 games. So you know he's got a pace of more than a minute a game.
He's a hitter.
Yeah, that size could be. He's got a little linebacker size to him.
I mean, that's what their top lines are fine. Honestly, their fourth line has been fantastic too lately. So. I'm guessing they got him for a good deal, and it was one of those guys they said, well, why the heck not? Let's just see if he can help give someone a break every now and then.
What did they give up for him? Stick tape?
A 2017 second-round pick.
Stick tape for Stewart, pretty much.
A 2017 second-round pick. Okay. There you go. A guy you wouldn't hear from for four more years, if at all, would eventually get dealt in another trade in 3 years anyway.
Well, you know what, though? This is what you do on draft day. You make deals to try to help you. And then they've beefed up the decor, and they've done something about getting a little muscle.
I mean, that's what they needed. And at this point, they've now addressed everything that they need to make a stretch run. Obviously, Dubnyk is the guy. Now they've got some defensive help as well, and Leopold, the guy who knows. You know, he's smart, and he knows the game too. And don't forget, there are some younger. Obviously, Suter's got plenty of experience underneath his belt, but. You know, Spurgeon's a young guy. Scandella is a younger guy. Matt Dumba, Jonas Brodin. Those are younger guys who haven't had a whole lot of playoff experience, whereas a guy like Jordan Leopold, he's been through this before. He's been down the stretch. It never hurts to have those guys in the locker room.
No, and you know what doesn't hurt, too? The fact that, as we touched on earlier, he's from here, and he's got to be a lot happier.
Yeah.
I mean, because his daughter wasn't the only one depressed about this. He couldn't have been having a great time either being away from home.
Look at what it's done
for his family.
Dubnyk. Look at what it's done for a guy who finally feels accepted and respected in a team. He's finally got people around him who are talking about how great he is instead of him being a liability. And he's just running with it. His confidence is sky high right now, and it makes a world of difference.
Well, how about that? If Chris Stewart and Jordan Leopold had a fraction of the impact that Dubnyk's had, it doesn't have to be anywhere near the same, but if they just would have some side of anywhere near the impact just to make a positive impact, that becomes huge for him.
You know, the position of what, obviously the position he's in lends itself to that. It's what they needed so greatly. But yeah, to me, the fact that he's the first star of the month that the franchise has ever had.
How about that?
He's barely been here a month. I was shocked when I heard it was the first. I would have.
You know what? I was a little bit too. So I'm thinking, really? Gabrick never?
At one point, Gabrick would have done it. But, you know, he was so streaky at times, even, you know, certainly in the playoffs, he disappeared. But he was streaky. He'd have those, you know, he'd have six goals against the Rangers, and then he wouldn't score again for a week and a half. So
yeah, and that'll happen to you.
Yeah, so, that one struck me also.
Now, Dave, what do you think about the NFL cap going up $10 million?
Oh,
I mean, does it have a big impact on the Vikings?
I don't know if it'll have that much because they had a decent amount of cap room, didn't they?
They're
I
at
don't
18.
Know, I have the numbers right in front of me, but
yeah, it was 18.
Did they have a decent amount?
Yeah, $18 million.
Yeah, so it doesn't, I mean, it's, listen, 10 more is always nice. They have a lot of decisions to make, though. And a lot of things they need to address.
What this does is it makes it easier to absorb the $15 million cap hit that that you'd get if they wound up keeping Adrian Peterson. So maybe it makes it less of an issue. On the flip side, though, it means a lot of teams suddenly have a lot more cap space to work with.
It certainly does.
Including the Dallas Cowboys, who, everyone knows Adrian Peterson. That's where he'd like to be.
It's this is a real interesting situation because then it's like, so if you have the money to keep him, and I think all of us even realized whether the cap was going to go up or not, that the Vikings were going to probably not keep him around at the same salary. So now do you end up, if you do keep him, make him happy and give him what he was going to make him this year and totally change your course of plans? Because they weren't going to pay him what they were going to pay him this final year. I think everyone thought he would have to take a pay cut.
Well, the problem they have is the guy who usually throws out makes the offers is Rob Brzezinski, and to be making it to this Ben Dogra, and those guys had to be separated. So I don't know that they can take out, especially on the part of Dogra, the personal side of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
that becomes an issue.
Last week, Rob Brzezinski's not a guy you'd think of when you think, oh boy, he's really going to blow his top.
No.
Not that kind of guy. So, like I said, I don't know what was said, but that's not a good place to start when it comes to negotiations for a new salary.
No, not at all. Dave, it's a great talking to you. Dave Schwartz from Care 11 and the Bench Warmers, 10 to 11 on Sundays. You and Jill Hammy, you don't want to miss that.
Always fun. Thank you, Bob.
Great. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again this week. Thank you. Thanks,
Anytime.
Dave. All right. Bye. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we have got several D-bag of the day candidates for you. And guess who's back in the mix again? He's going to become a Hall of Shamer.
It's not me, is it?
No, not you this time.
Perfect.
Ray Rice works his way back in. He's the victim. Him and these guys wasting all their money on the gold and diamond grills. Hear about these guys? You will. And many more when we return.
D-bag, need a bop bop. D-bag, need a bop bop.
That's not bad. Well, you're getting a little closer to current here. You're not going old school anymore, are you?
This is old school to me. Tom Petty, come on.
Okay, well, you were doing a lot from the 60s and 70s for a while there.
Still in there.
Even a little 50s
switching
throwback.
It up.
All right, I like a little switching it up. Here's one guy who's not switching up, Ray Rice. We all know what happened. The video of him knocking out his then-fiance, now-wife, at a casino elevator. He hasn't been able to get a job. He's been, he's reinstated months ago, and nobody wants the guy. And here's what he was saying, talking to the Baltimore Sun. It's tough. I realize that's a battle I'm going to have to face for the rest of my life. It said he's not excusing what he did, but he said, honestly, I almost felt like at one point that life wasn't worth living. I see why people commit suicide. Oh, really? You know what? Again, he's portraying himself as a victim here. Everything that happened to you was your own doing. Being suspended, nobody wanting to sign you. I mean, this guy is not Adrian Peterson type talent. There's not going to be a clamoring for him to be back on the field with anyone. And I do think he's going to have a tough time signing with someone, because if you wanted him, you would sign him before, or would have signed him already because he's available. It's not like he was a free agent coming off a team. Like March 10th, he could be signed now by a team.
Yeah.
But there's no rush on his part. No, on any team's part to get him on their team. So whatever, if he gets a job with some team, would we care? No. If he doesn't, will we care? No. I mean, what he did to bring himself to the point he was to knock her out in an elevator, could have killed her. And then, was it remorse right after he did it? No, he dragged her outside of the elevator and dropped her face down on the floor of the casino elevator, and then kicked her feet out of the way so the elevator door would close. There was no remorse there. Now there's all this remorse. But at the time, and then I see why people commit suicide. This is all your own doing.
Yeah. I have a close friend that committed suicide years ago, and it's clinical depression. So, yeah, this is something that he did. It's not something that is wrong in his mind or anything
like
that.
And it's not something that other people like. I mean, there are people who have a run of bad luck.
Yeah.
You know, or that not even bad luck, where things just fall apart and they can't do anything to stop it. Everything that's happened to him, he caused that night in the elevator and outside the elevator, particularly in the elevator.
That's kind of what we're both saying here, and he caused it, and there's nothing wrong with him. He's just feeling sad that he can't do what he loves, playing football right now because of what he did.
He's been playing a victim for a while, and then, you know, and this, his wife didn't say anything, but even she, when she said that he's the best husband in the world, whatever the heck the comment was several weeks ago, it's one of our D-bag of the day candidates. We'll leave it at that for now. And then there's Eric Bledsoe from the NBA, from the Phoenix Suns. He actually, I'm shocked it wasn't more expensive. He ordered from Cizelle's Grills, Thizzelles, Grillz. He ordered for himself and his brother at a total cost of $5,000, $2,500 each. Six 20 or 18 karat gold lower teeth, bottom teeth, with on top of the two middle teeth in there. There's got the six and you got the two in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
The two up front got a little diamond on it, some diamond encrusted. He's got diamonds there. Now, what does that say to you? Is that the look at me? I can afford.
That's
me.
I have too much money and I don't know what to do with it.
Exactly, because he signed a $70 million deal. There's a lot more I'd do. If you were making a list, I'd say the grills were down toward the bottom of my list.
Yeah. Unless it's making hamburgers and hot dogs for me, I don't need a grill.
Maybe Cizelle's Grills makes that something that that can accommodate you in that department also. All right, and then, it's no end now. You see Nick Young from the Lakers? Now he wants to go after an ESPN anchor, Robert Flores, for taking a shot at his girlfriend, Iggy Azalea. What is she? Is she a singer? Is that what she claimed the fame is? Or is she a model? Or is she both?
I don't know. I wouldn't really call her a singer. She's more of a rapper.
Okay. Well, all right. And that makes sense here, because he took a shot at Iggy during a segment called What Did We Learn? And here's what he said. We learned that, according to the Lakers' Nick Young, a dolphin recently tried to kill him. So, Nick, while dolphins are trying to kill you, your girlfriend is trying to kill hip-hop. Let's call it even, okay? Well, somebody got upset about that.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah. Nick Young got upset about it. Swaggy P was upset, too. I'm pretty sure we going to run into each other soon. Wait a minute, this is Nick doing it. Is his nickname Swaggy P, too? I can't keep up on that's his. Okay, that's his hip-hop.
Yeah.
That's his hip-hop name.
That's
Nick Young is Swaggy
Young's
P, too.
Nickname,
okay. Well, Swaggy, also said, okay, I'm going to read it exactly as it's written. Your job is to talk about sports, not what me and my chick got going on, Swaggy P, a.k.a. Nick Young, wrote. And he also wrote, so we got a problem. ESPN and Flores have not yet stepped into the fray and responded. So, your job is to talk about sports, not what me and my chick got going on. Wow. Does he do rap too, or hip hop?
I don't know that.
The Swagster? Swaggy P?
He might. Probably not as good as Shaq at rapping.
Or is he?
Because he's the greatest.
Iggy Azalea.
Yes.
Is that her real name, or she just wanted to name herself after the azalea bush?
I could not tell you if that's her real name or not.
Well, you know what? Maybe she grew up near Augusta National, where they have the azaleas in bloom every April. You never know. All right, there are three candidates for D-Bag of the Day. We have Ray Rice, who said, I almost felt like it. One point that it wasn't worth living, talking about life. I see why people commit suicide. Playing the part of the victim. We got Eric Bledsoe, one of several, by the way. There are other athletes who have the grills. He's got the 18 karat gold grills with the diamond encrust on the middle two. $2,500 a loving brother, got one a same set for his brother, maybe got the 2-for-1 or the 2-for deal, got a better break on it. He doesn't even make the mix in East with these three. And Nick Swaggy P. Young, threatening an ESPN reporter for saying, so Nick, while Dolphins are trying to kill you, your girlfriend is trying to kill hip-hop. Let's call it even, okay? Nick Young recently said a Dolphin tried to kill him. And then Nick went off. Or did Nick go off or did Swaggy P go off? Maybe it's an alter ego. And he, you know, Swaggy handles the tough stuff, and Nick is much calmer.
I don't think that's the kind of scenario we're looking at. I think it's just that's just his nickname. But I don't personally know him very well, so.
Okay, you two don't really hang together. All right,
no,
well, I got
you don't
that.
Run with the same crowd.
I go for that. Now, so who are you giving it to?
I got
to
go with Ray Rice, the, oh, I feel so bad because I can't play football. That's the only reason he feels bad. He wants a job somewhere playing football, and he can't. Nobody wants him.
You know, I really would like to, I really would like to give it to Swaggy P, a.k.a. Nick Young, or Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P. But I got to go with Ray Rice, too. He's a Hall of Shamer. A D-bag Hall of Shamer.
Bang.
Now, we have a... We'll go with a single candidate here. And he's a... You know, we also have the D-bag of the day police blotter division. Green Bay Packers cornerback Jared Bush arrested in Northern California for public intoxication following an alleged brawl outside of an Italian restaurant. There's nothing about Italian food that would make you want to fight. You just want to go lay on the couch after eating Italian food. According to the Vacaville Police Department, cops responded to Evelyn's Big Italian Restaurant early yesterday morning after getting a call about a large fight. When they showed up, the cops, I mean, most of the crowd dispersed, but Bush remained and refused to leave. Cops say Bush continued to create a disturbance and was eventually arrested. Taken to a nearby jail, officers say when he began to chill out, he became cooperative with police after he showed up. He'd better start chilling out once it wears off a little bit. But that's not, I mean, a guy, maybe he didn't like the veal or something and he got all upset. But still, how many times have you been arrested?
Well, I have a very interesting
story
about that.
You were arrested?
Not officially.
What does that mean?
It's a story that goes back a few years that I was arrested for a DUI, but I wasn't the one driving.
Okay, how do you get arrested if you're not the one driving?
It's a long story that we don't have time for right now.
Okay, did it ruin your life?
No, I talked to the cop, and eventually he brought me home and just said, have a good night.
Well, how did he think you were the one driving?
Because there was nobody sitting in the driver's seat from somebody that was driving. Illegally, I should say.
He jumped out of the car and ran off?
He jumped out and into the seat that I was trying to occupy because I was just sitting there.
He shoved you over or out the door? Or you're both, he was on your lap in the passenger seat?
Yeah, kind of like that. But it just happened in a way where...
Oh, my God.
It was just, it's a funny, funny story when you tell the whole thing, but the way I tell it
well,
takes about 20 to 30 minutes.
Well, if you could work sports into it, maybe we could make it a segment.
Yeah, it's not something...
You weren't at a sporting event.
No.
Okay, well, we can't tell it then. Anyway, we'll take a quick break, and when we return, we have Tom Schreier from 105 The Ticket, writes for 105theticket.com. I know you can't do it. Let's just say his nickname, Nick Young's got the nickname Swaggy P. Tom Schreier, we'll be right back with the cackler.
105 The Ticket, available on iHeartRadio. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Have you checked with Mr. Schreier to see if he likes this walk-up, talk-up music? Well, he's laughing about it. He must like it. We are joined by Tom Schreier. Find his writing on 105theticket.com. Find him on the air while he's on with us. And also, he's got his co-host of the Wake Up Call on Sundays, 8 to 10.
Yep.
You got a whole lot of stuff you can be writing about this week with Jordan Leopold coming back.
Yeah.
Chris Stewart joining the club. KG giving away the 1,000 tickets, and they go out in 3 minutes. Devin Dubnyk being the first star.
Twins getting sick. Contract. Getting injured.
Well, that now what are you writing about next? Do you know yet?
Initially I had a story about Phil Hughes and Trevor May that I actually did reporting on last year and how they're helping each other out, or Hughes is helping May out.
Wait a minute, you're going to use stuff from a year ago?
Well, this is digging deep. This is probably an hour long talking to either guy about.
Why didn't you write it then?
Because people, at the end of the baseball season, people were like, yeah, we're sick of the Twins.
So you thought you'd save it for several months and make it look fresh.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, hey, it's spring training's coming around. It's, you know, Trevor May's kind of on the fence there. Probably will start in AAA, but I just found it really interesting talking to him. He's very elaborate with how he was just so nervous when he first came up. And then, as he kind of played more, he said, well, the competitive nature of him kind of overrided his nervousness. But I don't know what I'm going to do with that story. Like I said, it'd be cool to do some original reporting in Florida, but I like being here covering the Wolves, covering the Wild. As you know, this week, I think Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I'll be at games, so a lot going on here. And certainly, I mean,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, the Minnesota sports scene, it couldn't be more happening right now. I love that KG, I think he bought 1,000 tickets, and then they have $21 tickets today. So, like, you know, for his number and stuff.
He
I think
lied.
That's cool.
You said $25 tickets.
But I also said something like that afterwards. That covers my tracks.
Oh, my God. Tomorrow night, they'll go back to the Wild. They got Ottawa here, then on back-to-back nights. That's a tough one. Well, it's not far apart, Washington and Carolina, but still back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
And the question again becomes, I'm sure they will. They're not going to let Dubnyk get a night off. He's got a night off between games, usually. Between games on that one. Then they got Colorado Sunday, and then they're they play Sunday against Colorado here, the Jersey here on Tuesday. Then they don't play again until Friday. Then they go back-to-back nights again, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, eventually Dubnyk's going to need a rest. I think they said 3 games in 4 nights. They'd probably give him one. I don't know if they'd go with Darcy Kemper, who's younger, and kind of you think maybe you want to see, hey, he's had some time off, kind of a mental rest. Or do you want to go with Nicklas Backstrom, who's pretty trustworthy? I mean, he's got a good track record. But at this point, I think he's
the odd guy out.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing, too, is you don't want him to get injured and kind of jeopardize. Maybe you can buy him out or use something, somehow get him out of town. But,
I would guess they were trying to unload him today.
Yeah, I would have thought so, too. I don't know how many people are looking for like a 37-year-old.
But nobody wants that's the thing. Nobody wants the contract or the player.
Yeah. So I think they've used one. They used an amnesty buyout on Tom Gilbert. I don't think they've used their second one. Again, that stuff I'm not as familiar with, but. I think you'd go with Kemper just because you want to know what he has. I mean, he's 24. He started out the season well. People forget that. Like, I think he shut out 3 teams to begin the year or something like that, or had some crazy minute number where he was shutting people out. And I think he still has a promising future. I think people are ready to punt on him because of the struggles he's had. He's 24. I think it's a mental thing. I think physically he's a good goaltender.
Well, clearly with Dubnyk it was a mental thing.
Yeah, and maybe it's also...
Well, he probably tweaked his game, too.
Yeah, I think Arizona helped him out. That's what he said. He said it wasn't hard going to Arizona, and he actually got a lot of help there. The other thing, too, is Edmonton just never has had structure around him. They had 3 very good players who they got with the first overall pick. But as we've learned with, kind of if you want to compare them and Calgary built a better team. You know, they're in the race for the playoffs right now. Edmonton, in my mind, has just been very top-heavy with their forwards. I think we'll probably put it together, but they may have to trade one of those guys just to get some defense and kind of get some structure. Because at the end of the day, we know that, I think Nicklas Backstrom looked like a better goalie than he was because of the defensive system the Minnesota Wild had when he first came up. So goalies, I mean, they'll save you in the playoffs and whatnot, but they're also kind of a product of the players around them.
Well, right now, your Minnesota Wild are the second wild card team.
Yeah.
They got a three-point lead over... Well, the Kings and Calgary are both at 70 points, and the Minnesota's at 73, Winnipeg's at 76, and they're the two wild card teams right now. It's not likely, well, it could happen, but it's not likely they're going to get into the top three.
No.
Chicago's at 79 points, and, I mean, a lot could happen.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, Chicago, I think there was some talk that Patrick Sharp, you know, was on his way out because of things he did off the ice, and there might be a rift in the locker room, and you never know with a big market, especially with a team that's expected to win and has had so much success, do these things kind of get blown out of the water? And so I don't know what's going on there. I think Winnipeg's probably a team that kind of drops from the board. I really think I like the trade and what it did for them. I'm also concerned that just kind of the young, inexperienced team, and probably this is a big stride for them. You know Winnipeg's going to be good for years to come, But I mean, is it their year, or you know, is a team like LA, which with the track record they have, Minnesota, which I think is establishing a track record, stuff like that. I think I would trust those teams more come crunch time than a team like Winnipeg, which probably is getting its first taste right
well,
now.
Well, I would assume, I'm guessing, even though they're tied at 70 points now, the Kings will wind up in the third spot in the Pacific Division, and Calgary will be fighting for a wild card spot.
Yeah, yeah,
because they're both at 70.
Now, yeah, and like I said, I don't know how much goal differential matters, but they're plus 15, the Wild and Calgary are. Vancouver's plus 13, Winnipeg's plus 7. You tend to be, if you're plus, you're in the playoffs. If you're minus, you're not. In the West, it might not be true because the Kings are plus 4 in the ninth spot. But I don't know. I think San Jose at this point, I think, is slowly teetering kind of off the table there. Now they could go on a run. But L.A. did go on their run. I think, like, they're also a team that won the Stanley Cup as an 8th seed, so I wouldn't count them out at any point. You know, in the season.
Well, I have little doubt they're going to make the postseason.
In
one form or another. My guess is they'll, I mean, again, they and Calgary are right, you know, they're in there together. LA has to start winning it. They've lost three in a row after having a little bit of a surge.
I suppose if I see a team like Calgary that's kind of an upstart, I tend to favor Los Angeles that has been there before. Having said that, I think if I'm a Kings fan, you have to realize, like, I don't know if the window's closing, but you're going to have teams like Calgary and Winnipeg that now are kind of hungry for those playoff spots, knowing that they can get there. And you don't know if LA, all these playoff runs they've been doing, it's almost like extra seasons kind of compiling on each other. If their team's just kind of getting worn out, if those guys are getting beat up, we know how tough the playoffs are. People play through, like, you know, broken fingers and, you know, dislocated joints and stuff like that throughout the playoffs, and that does a toll on your body.
Well, they just laugh it off.
Yeah.
They just laugh it off.
Helmer's in his own world here.
Jesus Christ, they just laugh it off. No way!
Is that right?
No, that's not right. We got it live here. We didn't get it on tape. We have the live cackle.
There you go.
Are you, and if you're not, just wave me off. Are you going to, or are you interested in the state high school hockey tournament?
Yeah, in fact, we do a hockey podcast here, me and my friend Danny, and I think St. Thomas is in it. That's where I went to high school, but it's an exciting, we talked about this, it's kind of the teams you want in it. Lakeville North and Edina will probably be favored to be in the finals, but I think it's Lakeville North has to play Hill Murray in the first round.
It's a tough team.
Well, I mean, we saw them play, I saw them maybe twice this year, actually maybe three times, and they look good in all three games. They got guys heading to Division One, you know, Harvard and whatnot, and I think it's probably the pool you want, and I think you're going to see extraordinary talent. If you're a fan of even just college hockey or the higher levels, you'll see players who are going to get there at some point who are playing in this tournament right now.
Yeah, and believe me, I have no problem with them both being in there. But how do you have two different sections where Edina is on the and Eden Prairie border each other?
Yeah.
Yet they're in different sections.
Edina has a significantly easier section. Section 2 isn't as good. And they basically, Edina and Lakeville North blew through their sections. St. Thomas did as well. St. Thomas was challenged maybe a little bit by Eastview, and maybe Creighton would have given them a run for their money. But St. Thomas is in the right section, I think, but it's a little bit easy for them. Section 6 is the hardest one. They, you know, Danny, goes to every game.
Well, Eden Prairie, that's the one they came out of, right?
Yeah, so they came out of that.
That was the killer one.
Well, and that one's like Minnetonka, Benilde, which Benilde...
Wyzetta's in there, right?
Yeah, Wyzetta was weird. Wyzetta was so talented and really didn't live up to expectations this year. Benilde, I think, was super talented and unfortunately just lost a very close game, and we saw the emotions come out, obviously, getting in a fight. Eden Prairie, the advantage they have is they didn't have those players who were in that fight and who got suspended, and, you know, so essentially they get three players back for the tournament. They played Blaine, and Blaine's a good team as well. Blaine was always a good regular season team. They were kind of like the Sharks of high school hockey. They, you know, they do well in the regular season. Team like Centennial would come and take them out, and I think this time they put Centennial in their place. They beat them 8-1. They also lost their coach, Dave Voss, who went to Brainerd. So, new coach.
Who's coming out of Section 3?
Section 3 is St. Thomas. So St.
Thomas. St. Thomas Academy.
Yeah,
okay.
St. Thomas Academy. So,
I mean, that's like, they're the most northern team in Section 3, right?
Yeah, that's probably right. I mean, I know Creighton's in it, and I suppose it's the teams that kind of, where those kids are from. You know, a lot of kids know the kids on the opposing
side.
Well,
the reason I asked about Section 3 is we talked to Henry Boucher last week, and when Henry, they did a backdoor game, the losers of the Section 7 and Section 8 finals played for the open Section 3 spots. There were no teams that came out of Section 3 at the time.
Interesting. So, yeah. And
so that's back in the, you know, 69. It went to the 70s like that.
Yeah. See, I was going to say this year, Section 7 was decent. Duluth East, which kind of hung around all year. I thought
their
record's
they're 14-10 and
yeah,
a few ties.
No, I asked Danny. I said, hey, do you think this team is just kind of playing spoiler midway through the season? And he said, no, this is a team that has a lot of pride. They do a lot of traveling. They travel all over. They're independent, so they're not in a conference. And they travel all over. And they, I saw them play Blaine, and Blaine looked like a much better team. As I came into the game, I think they were up 3-0, hung around, lost 7-6, I think, in overtime in Blaine's arena. They travel out. They've got a good track record. And they beat an Elk River team that leaks goals. Jake Jeremko is a superstar. I've seen him play, and he blows my mind. But he's, you know, they can put up points, but they also leak a lot of goals. So I'm not surprised Duluth East won that game. I think that's a section, though, that could have gone either way. And then Bemidji, I think the last time that someone came out of that section, other than Moorhead, I'm trying to remember the other team, maybe Roseau, yeah, is 1986, I think, or something like that, 1997, something like that.
Yeah, so usually it's, yeah, Roseau is a power.
Yeah, so Roseau down here, and Brandon Warren, our writer for the Twins, actually, is from Roseau and talked about that a little bit. But, yeah, Moorhead, a great player, Will Borgen, saw him play Hill Murray, and he was toying with their players just skating around him. But Moorhead's, I think, has a better track record. Bemidji, they're going to be the darling of the tournament in Class AA. They won that section, and no one really expected it. Midway through the season, Danny and I were like, yeah, we should probably talk about Bemidji a little bit. I think they're doing well. I don't know a ton about them other than they play great defense. I don't think they gave up a goal through section play, which is impressive considering it's Section 8. So it doesn't surprise me that 7-8 would have – those are two teams, I think. And you could argue with Benilde and Minnetonka maybe should be in it too. But like I said, only eight teams make it. I think it's going to be a really, really fun tournament, even going into Class A as well. There's East Grand Forks, Matamidi, Hermantown, are all three really, really good teams. So I'd say, you know, definitely if you, you know, pick up a ticket, I'll be there Thursday, and I'll see what other days I can get there if I'm not covering the Wild or the Wolves.
Yeah, it gets a short shrift a little bit. It's the Class A tournament. Because it's still good. It's not. This is not like it was when they had, like, the loser's bracket.
Matamidi's got, I can't remember the kid's name, but they got a kid who's draft eligible. Jack Becker, I think, is his name. And he's he's a talent to watch. I'd say he can. Matamidi, first of all, can compete with Double A. They beat St. Thomas, and I'm trying to think who else they beat.
Well, they're 24-2-2.
Yeah, I'm trying.
And they're playing a lot of Double A's.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I think they might have beat Hill Murray too. I can't remember, but they've beaten Double A teams. East Grand Forks is the defending champion. I think it's Dixon Bowen is their superstar, and again, a guy who's Division I. He's going to be a next, you know, impact in the next level. Maybe a draft pick. I don't know, but plays that kind of northern style of hockey. He'll hit you hard. And then Hermantown's kind of always been second. I think 2007 they won it all, but since then they've always kind of been the second place team. Bruce Plant is one of the best coaches in high school hockey, so you can always expect, despite their small population, they're always a superstar, you know, always have superstars on that team.
Yeah, Hermantown you're talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, and the coach, who's a great guy, he can't bitch anymore about St. Thomas Academy.
He hated St. Thomas. Someone who grew up, so I graduated 08 from St. Thomas, someone who grew up kind of in that environment where St. Thomas, I mean, arguably the Vanellis took the St. Thomas kind of from nothing to a powerhouse in Class A. Bruce Plant was the first guy that says, get these guys out of here. And like I said, I don't know. You know, I don't know if a team like, you know, Matamidi, or some people argue East Grand Forks probably could be Double A. I don't know if eventually they'll kind of come up. The one team that's missing from Class A is Luverne. Luverne's usually pretty good, and New Ulm beat them. So obviously, New Ulm's going to be kind of a team to watch as well in that tournament.
All I was asking is what do you think of the state hockey team? My God, listen to you. Tom Schreier, 105theticket.com. Catch him Sundays 8 to 10. He knows hockey. He knows other stuff, too, but we don't have him for more than this one little segment here. Unless you want to hang out for the threesome at 3, you're always welcome to.
I'll join
a Tom, you got a home here.
Yeah, we need three people for the threesome. At least, yeah. That makes sense, somewhere.
The math has to work out somehow.
Please explain to him it's not that kind of threesome.
I will do no such thing.
As a matter of fact, Tom, maybe we don't want you to hang out.
Hey, this guy's been arrested. I'm concerned here.
Tom.
Not actually arrested.
Pull your pants back up. My God, all right.
It's not
we'll
a
come
visual
back
medium. We're fine.
The trio. The other threesome at 3. We'll be right back with that.
Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.